Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on this very fine day of Thursday, October 10th, 2013. Today, we're going to, of course, continue speaking about the debt ceiling. We're going to talk about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And we're also going to talk about Christmas. Yes, Christmas is just around the corner, and we're going to ask who's killing Christmas. Lots of things to talk about today, but first, let's get to the markets. And if you heard my comment at the beginning of the program, you've got to be kidding me. The last half hour of trading, you know, those SOBs are at it again, and I'm not a person who swears. That's about the most I get. Although others might disagree, but gold, you know, they whacked it right at the last minute of the day, down $19 at $12.89. Silver's down 23 at $21.76, although they didn't touch platinum, up 5, $13.89, and they didn't touch palladium, up 7 at $712. And they pushed the markets over 300 points, the paper markets. Let's first get to the USDX. That didn't move much. It was up 0.10 at 80.46. So not a lot of big movement there. You figured with what we saw in the markets today with gold at the last minute, that'd be up significantly. And what's other interesting is both the mining shares showed a little bit of upside movement today, but they also reversed here in the last minute of trade. Crude oil was down up about a buck and a half at 102.91, so that's creeping up a little bit. And of course, you'll be able to have all of Wall Street cheering that perhaps there is an agreement coming out of Washington. And again, we'll be talking about that here shortly into the program. And so there's a lot of optimism, woohoo, that the possible debt deal is going to be made. The Dow was up 323 points at 15,126. The NASDAQ was up 82, a little over 2.25%, 3760. The S&P up 36 at 1692. And the 10-year yield, that's beginning at one point in the day, I saw it over 2.7. And it's come off that number, 2.68, up 0.04. So a lot of folks might get a little confused because the actual future price for gold, because the actual The actual spot market closes earlier in the day. We just followed the New York spot, which continues to trade aftermarket. But the futures gold market, it will show just down $6 at 1290. It all catches up, and we all use the same numbers. So it all comes out in the wash, but what an interesting day. And again, lots of things to talk about in today's program. So make sure you stay tuned. And I want to say good afternoon now.
I'm Melody.
And we're also going to be talking about jobless claims, you know, going into the second break after the second break. That's spiked, but reasons for that spiking, but we'll talk about that. We have, I believe we have Wendy Wilson joining us today.
But Wendy?
Oh, well, maybe Frankie didn't get her.
Uh-huh. You mean Frank, the producer?
Let's see if there's a connection problem. But in the meantime, while they're getting that settled, today we had jobless claims. They spiked after computer troubles in California, so to speak. The numbers of Americans filing new claims for unemployment benefits hit a six-month high. And, of course, they blame it on a computer glitch in California. And the initial claims for state unemployment benefits increased 66,000. And they're blaming, of course, the shutdown. 15,000 of the claims were from non-federal workers that have been affected by the partial government shutdown. And so still a pretty big jump for the jobless claims. And but that still leaves 18,000 up if you take away those two numbers. So all these numbers are going to be kind of cloudy until things... If things ever get
That's because we're doing new math, Melody.
New math.
And it's not important whether you get the right answer. It's just important that you feel good about yourself, that you have self-esteem. This is what they teach in the schools, and I'm sure that our politicians have learned this.
Yes,
this explains why our unemployment numbers, our inflation numbers, all of these numbers, they just kind of make them up. Because as long as we feel good about ourselves, then we'll be good. You see? It's that simple.
Just smile and be happy.
That's it.
Just smile and be happy and vote Democratic.
Well, you vote Republican, they'll make you happy too.
Yeah, there's no different.
The happiest kingdom of them all, Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Wendy is apparently on the line. Wendy, are you there now?
I am here. Hi, Al. Hi, Melody. How you doing?
Just fine.
Good. Are you?
Yes.
I understand you'd like to talk a little about osteoporosis today.
Yeah, we've got 10 million Americans, Al and Melody, with weak bones. They call it osteoporosis. You know, 80% are female, actually. And the U.S. Department of Health, you'll like this statistic, it would have us believe that by the year 2020, 50% of Americans are going to have osteoporosis. So,
What percentage did you say?
50%. 2020.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
I know. So for every two women right now over 50, one is developing osteoporosis, but the statistics for men is lower. It's one in four men over 50 years of age will have weak bones. So, you know, it's an interesting thing because according to medical science, the risks of developing weak, brittle bones, you know, they tell us, you know, it's you're overweight, maybe you drink too much alcohol, smoke, you don't exercise enough and that kind of thing. But really, really, I believe it's a diet problem, more or less. And here's the other thing is there's drugs that will give you osteoporosis. Would you like to know which drugs?
Yeah, let me go into the medicine cabinet and then we can go through them one at a time. Which ones are they?
Well, for one thing, medicine does admit this. They admit that steroids, your corticosteroids and your glucocorticosteroids, can cause bone loss, okay? And they usually prescribe those type of drugs, and they tend to mess up your hormones. They prescribe them for the rheumatoid arthritis group. They also prescribe steroids for inflammatory diseases, asthma, Crohn's disease, which is an inflammation of the bowel, lupus, which is an autoimmune disease, and even allergies. So we've got tons of people on steroids, and And the thing is if you have an organ transplant, they give you those anti-rejection drugs, which also will hurt your bones, but they also pair those anti-rejection drugs up with the steroid medication. And you don't have to be on these types of medicines very long, Al. You could be on them, you know, 5 milligrams, 3 or 4 months, and it's going to start to do its dirty deed. So you need to be careful out there if you're on steroids.
Now, you know, one of the things I've... Okay, go ahead. Excuse me.
No, I just have other drugs, too, a lot of over-the-counter products and other prescriptions that people may have in their home right now that can weaken their bones are antacids, seizure medicines, chemotherapy drugs, premenopausal drugs, thyroid medications, breast cancer drugs, drugs that help you grow hair, hormone replacement medications, anticoagulants, antidepressants, especially the ones for depression, hyperactivity, and aggression-type mood disorder, also contraceptive drugs, immune suppressants, gastroesophageal reflux, or the GERD drugs, and also diabetic medications.
That's pretty interesting because, especially with the steroids, there are a lot of bodybuilders out there that are taking steroids, presumably, and also athletes. You know, even in high school, are taking steroids, not legally, but they're taking them in order to build themselves up to play football, basketball, whatever. And you are suggesting that they may actually be weakening their bones.
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't take long to start that process. And the reason is a lot of these medications mess with your mineral content, which are very, very important for bone health. Boron, actually, in the 1800s, scientists discovered the trace mineral called boron, and they noticed that essential plants, for them to be healthy, had to have boron. But then 100 years after that, they discovered that boron also plays a vital role in our metabolic healthy processes for healthy bones. So what happens is if you don't have adequate amount of boron in your system, what happens is the calcium, magnesium, will leave the body through the urine. And so you have this exodus of magnesium and calcium. So that starts a demineralization to take place, and it causes osteoporosis. And women who are premenopausal, they say, are at a higher risk of osteoporosis. But I say if they begin to lose their boron. And boron's also going to be able to protect you against fluoride toxins, and it helps the body balance hormones. So boron will affect the regulation of estrogen and testosterone, which plays a role regarding strong bones.
What do you think is more important, diet or exercise, in terms of maintaining strong bones? How would you rate it on a 50-50, 60-40, 30, you know, 70? How do you rate it?
Yeah, I would say diet will edge out the exercise a little bit. You know, not by much, maybe about 5% or you know, a slight margin. Both mm-hmm. are real, real important, basically because a lot of exercise stimulates brain chemicals, and that helps also stimulate hormone activity. So hormones are actually involved in growth, maintenance, and repair of tissues, including your bone cells. So diet is incredibly important. So, you know, science suspects that boron influences even the absorption of your vitamin D. So I would say this, osteoporosis is really a diet problem, and diets with prescription drugs can be a problem.
I've heard reports where some doctors suspect, you'll hear a story about an elderly man or woman who falls down and breaks their hip.
Right.
Okay? But I've heard reports that some doctors suspect that they don't fall down and break their hip, that their hip actually breaks while they are standing there because
right.
the bone is so weakened, and then they fall down. The
right.
break isn't the result. It's the cause of falling down. And you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. In a lot of cases, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of elderly people, you know, their bones are just really just, you know, by the hair of their teeth, you know, supporting them. Let me read you this quote by Dr. Mark Hegstead. He's the professor of nutrition at Harvard University. He says this. You need magnesium, boron, phosphorus, silicon, as much as calcium for maintaining the healthy state of your bones, not just the hard outer layer, but the trabecular layer, which is that spongy bone layer in your spine and even in your distal forearm, where a lot of osteoporosis frequently occurs. He says, I'm certain that boron can prevent or stop osteoporosis from happening.
Well, I think everyone's going to want to supplement their diet with boron one way or another after hearing this program. Is that something that you can provide? Is it something that we eat a lot of kale, for example? What do we take to get more boron in our diet?
Absolutely. You know, more than just boron, magnesium, and calcium, you're also going to need some vitamin D and silica. And the sun provides some vitamin D, as you know, but you can also get it in cod liver oil, herring, mackerel, sardines, and tuna. Your silica you find in the earth and in your plant foods, and it gives strength and firmness to your bones, your cartilage, your connective tissues, your arteries, and even your skin. So your foods that are going to be high in the silica are beetroot, lettuce, cucumbers, carrots, broccoli, almonds, alfalfa, and onions, just to name a few. We do have a free food list for Strong Bones if the folks out there want a free one. We can send it to them. But to answer your question about supplements, certainly there are supplements out there. You know, diet, I say, is your primary source of health. But if you do need a little help replenishing those trace minerals, especially the boron and your magnesium, you don't want to go with a bunch of chemical supplements, because it's easy for you to exceed the 2 milligrams per day on that, and you could have side effects like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, a skin rash, and even fatigue. But interesting,
you're talking about caused by an excess of boron. Is that true?
Yeah, because you know the chemicals, you know, synthetic supplements, they can't ever get that balance right. So you're going to, you know, like nature gets it right, you know what I'm saying? So it's an interesting thing, though. If you eat foods that have the boron and the magnesium and the silica, if you eat foods that have them in them, it's interesting. You can eat boron that you find naturally in foods and or your herbs, and you can consume up to 41 milligrams per day with no side effects. So
So the natural won't harm you, but the just supplements in a pill might.
Yeah, you see the difference. The 2 milligram synthetic supplement, if you overdo that, you're going to get sick. Whereas you can eat 41 milligrams in your plants and you not have any side effects. So
okay, now let me ask you this though.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a significant difference in the boron that's chemical and in the boron that we find in the plants? If we can take two units of one and 40 of the other, it sounds like they're really not the same. There's some sort of a difference.
Right. Yeah, you're going to have your chemical synthetic versions, and they're going to use ground up animal bones and all kinds of things to make the product with, and that's not the right kind of boron you want. The body always metabolizes those plant versions of minerals so much more efficiently. So we do have a whole food plant version that will cover your boron and your calcium, magnesium, and even your silica. And we use organic plants to make the formula. It's called calcium formula, and it has your natural boron in there. So no doubt, if you have bone issues out there, you might want to investigate plants like that to rectify the problem.
Is there any way of telling in advance whether you have bone issues? I mean, how do we know if we do or we do not have bone issues?
Well, a lot of things are genetic. You know, you can check your family tree, see if people, you know, because like my grandfather, for instance, you know, he had soft bones, he had soft teeth, and he wound up having to have dentures. So you may have some weak links that you may want to consider there. The other thing is if you've ever broken or fractured a bone, a telltale sign is how long did it take to heal and did it heal correctly. So there's a lot of things that you can check for that. You can also have your doctor check urine and blood work for those mineral components to see if you're within normal limits or if you're low. And if you don't want to go to the doctor, if you don't have the money for the doctor, then, you know, just beef yourself up with those food groups, because you can't overdo, you know, greens like, you know, cabbage and cucumbers and beetroot, but you certainly can overdo a supplement.
You can overdo you can overdo Brussels sprouts, or at least I can.
No, you can't stand Brussels sprouts. What do you have, Wendy, for the listeners?
Well, it's a calcium formula. It's made with the herbs that have that wonderful, organic and what God made ratio that the body likes to absorb calcium. Two parts calcium, one part boron, one part magnesium, and you find them in certain foods and herbs and like horsetail and oat straw. So we have that in the calcium formula. It's a liquid. And the interesting thing is you don't have to use it every day. You can use it three times a week and still get where you want to go with bone health.
Where we have to go right now is you've got to give us some contact information and we have to move into our commercials.
Absolutely. They can call Apothecary Herbs to inquire about the calcium formula. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Of course, their website is thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, guys.
All right, Wendy Wilson, thanks very much. We'll see you again next Thursday. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188, for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, what you got for them today?
Well, we got some, hey, with the price big drop in gold and silver, everything is on special, folks. You just need to pick up that phone, and call us. We've got the best prices, we've got the best shipping, and we've got the best people working here at Discount Gold and Silver to give you everything that you need in order to purchase your gold and silver, to build that portfolio, and to protect yourself. Because, folks, this game is not over yet. We've got a long ways to go, and certainly Wall Street might be celebrating today. However, what are they celebrating? Are they celebrating because just because Boehner says they're going to lift the debt ceiling for 6 weeks, that's something to celebrate? I don't think so. So we got a long way to go, folks. This isn't over yet. And Wall Street, they should be ashamed of themselves because they're the ones who look at this as some joke. And instead of the joke, no, it's no joke when it comes to people's hard-earned money and our country and our liberties and our rights and our decline in our living. It's disgusting of them. And they should all be thrown out. And that's another story, Al. But
I don't believe they should be thrown out. I believe they should be tried for treason.
Yes.
Right? I'm not interested in firing these people and slapping their wrists. All right. We need to start thinking about trials for treason in this country.
But you know what's amazing? Lou was on this morning. He was in there speaking, talking about what would happen if they didn't do this, if the debt ceiling and so forth. And he was actually whining. That was the first time I ever listened to him speak. And he's just sitting there whining about what's going to happen and blah, blah, blah. They need to do this. They need to do that. And, of course, Boehner, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, agreed to at least to raise the debt ceiling, not to open government, to raise the debt ceiling for 6 weeks. But Obama said, no, you got to do both. Then we'll talk. So we'll see what holds tomorrow.
Yeah, I understand. Again, the perils of Pauline is where we seem to be. We got an article here on the Who's Killing Christmas that touches on this. And the idea of, and this touches on the reason that 6 weeks is, a 6 week delay is important and perhaps ill-advised. In an open letter to congressional leaders, National Retail Federation President and CEO Matthew Shea made a persuasive case that without an immediate end to the government impasse, the American economy is facing disaster with or without a technical debt default. He thinks this stuff's going to hit the fan no matter what we do, unless we do it quickly. According to the NRF, the recurring nature of the debt ceiling debates have created repeated headwinds for his industry over the past several years, suggesting a temporary bargain is of limited value, temporary as in 6 weeks. Further, what he's complaining about is this debt ceiling problem is having an adverse effect on Christmas sales. And this is from Thanksgiving to Christmas is when some retailers make all the money they're going to make for the year, virtually. That's the season that puts them over the top, keeps them in the black. And what this man is saying is, look, you guys are messing with the economy at exactly the time that's critical for people in the retail business. And therefore, he is complaining that Congress is killing Christmas. Well, if he's correct that having the debt ceiling debate right now is bad for business, how bad will it be if we allow that debate to continue for another 6 weeks? 6 weeks just moves us up basically into the early part of December. Huh? No, not quite. The end of November. That's where we'd be. The end of November. We're in the heart of the retail sales businesses. If this man has a legitimate complaint, then about who's killing Christmas, then, you know, we need to solve the problem now rather than wait on it. What do you think, Melody? Are they adversely impacting Christmas or?
Well, I mean, Christmas is so overbought, but, you know, they already have all the product. They have their inventory, so you're going to have a lot of inventory sitting there going into, and I think we're going to have a bad season anyway.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct. The article's correct. That person's correct. If they drag this out for 6 weeks, I mean, that's right around right before Thanksgiving, their big, day of Thanksgiving, so... Absolutely. You have confidence also that is dropping based on everything that is happening. It registered its sharpest 1 week drop. during the period immediately following since the collapse of Lehman Brothers, and that's according to a Gallup poll. So absolutely, big impact on Christmas. And I mean, our country is already teetering on the brink, and so it's it could go over the cliff even if they do agree on all these demands.
And that's part
and
of
it. Will.
That's a point that we have an article here that we'll get to later in the program, talking about some of the symptoms, some of the consequences of a debt default, at least according to some sources. And all they're telling us, they're saying the sky might fall. That's what they're essentially saying, which is an exaggeration, of course, but it parallels the warnings we've been presenting on the program for years. We've been saying, look, this system is a house of cards, and it is precisely because it's a house of cards. It's over-leveraged. It's got too many things that are depending on too many other things, and we are accepting debt instruments as if they were assets, which is insane. It's irrational. It's like saying black is white and red is green or whatever. There is a fundamental lie that this system is built on, and sooner or later that lie is going to come out, and when it does, the whole thing collapses. Those of you who are holding on to paper, you are going to lose your assets. We harp on it. We've been harping on it. And what you'll see in some of the reports we have, and we'll get to a little later in the program, is other people are now agreeing with us, people in positions of significant power. I won't say that they didn't figure it out until now. But they are coming out and they're saying, yeah, the whole system is a house of cards. If that wasn't true, it wouldn't matter. If the government defaults on its debt, wouldn't be that big a deal. We have people we'll get to who are complaining that this is the IMF warns the U.S. must not fail to raise the debt ceiling. Not because it'll have an adverse effect on our economy, but because it'll have an adverse effect on the global economy. If it's really true, why is the world so integrated? Why are we working for a new world order and one world government? Does the world want to be dependent on every bunch of clowns who can get themselves elected to some significant national legislature? Where if they want to behave in a way that's irresponsible over a period of time, that the whole world can be collapsed by one bunch of idiots? Do we want that, or do we want to restore some sort of national sovereignty and independence where we can run our own country, and if they do something stupid in England, well, that's England's problem. Do we really want to be integrated with the rest of the world, or do we want to go to a more national basis? All of this is involved in the debt ceilings. One of the things we haven't done, though, Melody, we get off on this a little bit. You didn't tell folks what the special is for today yet, did you?
All our coins. But I didn't give out our telephone number and the website, so thank you, Al, for bringing it back to Discount Gold and Silver. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. One thing I haven't mentioned for a couple of days, we are still having the drawing all orders for this month. Just like last month, your name will be placed in a basket, and we will have a drawing November 1st. That's a Friday, and you'll be able to win a Mint State 62 $10 Indian or a tube of Silver Eagle. So we're going to have two prizes. So we did the same thing last month. The people were just tickled with the prizes that they received, beautiful coins. And we'll do that again this month. And so make sure you get your orders in. We've got great pricing with gold down $20 and breaking the 13 level today. Certainly good buys in everything. So,
what do you think is likely to happen to the price of gold tomorrow?
I think it'll be up tomorrow.
I think just in theory, because it should be for this reason. If the stock market went up 300 points today because Boehner said we're going to extend this thing another 6 weeks, we'll fund it for another 6 weeks before we come to absolute drop-dead date on this. If that was enough to make the market go up 300 points, what will be the consequence of Obama saying, oh, no, we're not. We're not going to extend it for another 6 weeks. Huh?
Exactly.
The point I'm trying to make is if it went up 300 points today, in theory, it should go down 300 points tomorrow. Obama said no, ain't happening.
And what people, you know, it baffles me, totally baffles me, that Wall Street can become this excited about raising the debt ceiling a trillion for 6 weeks, but they need a trillion. I mean, they came out and said, hey, we need it raised a trillion. That would take us into, you know, after the elections next year. So we do know how much they really want, how much the Democrats want. They want $1 trillion. Doesn't anybody think of the consequences? Or are we just at a point where we know we're going to just do it for as long as we can, and it doesn't really matter until that day?
On one level, it doesn't really matter. We're in so deep right now, what difference does it make? I don't think anyone in a position of power can see a reliable solution to the economic problems we're facing. The only thing they're able to do right now is postpone the inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone is going to cause an economic recovery. How are we going to cause an economic recovery when we've shipped jobs overseas? How are we going to cause an economic recovery when we have encouraged illegal aliens to invade this country and take jobs at lower prices? How are we going to encourage an economic recovery if the government is raising taxes in the form of Obamacare? There isn't going to be an economic recovery until we first suffer something like an economic collapse. We're going to have to reset. We're going to have to zero out. We're going to have to wipe out a bunch of nonsense and irrationality. And when that gets cleansed from the system, and probably it can't be cleansed except by an economic, certainly a depression. All right, not necessarily a collapse, not necessarily chaos and the rest of that, but an economic depression. It may eliminate much of the nonsense. And what is that nonsense? It is, by and large, a bunch of pieces of paper masquerading as debt, as assets, which in fact are only debt instruments. It is a gross, incredible, fantastic insanity to suppose that a debt instrument can be treated as a true asset. You can play with it a little bit, but it's not a real asset. It's something, it's a promise of an asset. It's a promise of payment. It's not a payment. Payment is an asset. Promise of payment, that's in limbo. We're going to find out that limbo is populated by a lot of paper that just can't ultimately work and become true. Here's something from Reuters. It says, prioritizing which U.S. bills to pay would be chaos. This is from Lou again. You commented on he was whining. Boehner is crying, and Obama is smirking. All right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of like the three monkeys, you know? Whine no evil, cry no evil, and smirk no evil, or something along those lines. In any case, Washington writer Reuters, the Obama administration said Thursday that the looming U.S. default would hit everyone from Social Security pensioners to bondholders, and urged Congress to raise the cap on government borrowing to avoid a crisis. Appearing before lawmakers, U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew tried to shoot down the notion that Washington could prioritize between its many payment obligations. He warned lawmakers that later this month the government might miss payments on pensions and health care for the elderly. It must also make payments to creditors. I don't believe there's a way to pick and choose on a broad basis, Lou told at hearing. And what he's simply saying, look, this is an all-or-nothing proposition. There's no way. The government's got to pay all of its bills or can't pay any of its bills. That's a bunch of nonsense. It hasn't paid any of its bills in full in years. And it won't as long as we have inflation. Inflation is designed not to pay the bills in full. All right? It's not quite the same as picking and choosing who's going to get paid, but it is similar. And the reason I bring it to your attention is that it's just another illustration of we've got a terrible problem. That's what they're telling us. But we can't solve the problem on a halfway basis. We have to agree to just pay and pay and pay and pay and pay. And the truth of the matter is a lot of people are just saying, no, I've had enough. I don't think I want to pay. I don't care what's going to happen. I'm tired. The taxes are killing us.
Yes.
And there's some truth to that. Again, I've harped on it a number of times. Taxes, my dad, back when I was a little boy, my dad paid 15% of his income, was paid in local, state, and federal taxes. Today, young man is paying at least 60% in local, state, federal, and hidden taxes. It takes two people today to generate a standard of living comparable to what my dad could do back in 1950. It's because of government that we are sliding into poverty. It's not going to end until we do something about the government. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We were going to talk about, I don't know if you wanted to continue, about the seven debt default doomsday scenarios. As we're talking about debt defaults, of course, we might not have a debt default now. They might all shake hands, kiss each other, and I'll say, well, we'll do this again. In the near future.
Yeah, right. See you in a year.
See you in a year.
See you next fall. Yeah, it's like, that's what this is. This is like, it's kind of like a regular bowl game. You know, for the end of the football season, you have the Super Bowl, and you got the Orange Bowl and the Rose Bowl. And everything. We're going to have the debt ceiling bowl, and we're going to play this game every fall for as far into the future as anyone cares to predict.
Understand? Hug.
And we will, yeah. Yeah, that's where
bonding,
we're
men bonding.
Yeah, well, don't just blame the men on this. You got Nancy Pelosi in there. There's women up there. They're just as responsible as the men.
Who'd want to bond with? Anyway, let's move on.
All right, we got an article from CNBC. Here are the seven debt default doomsday scenarios. You know, this is just a little bit of maybe a little bit of hype in the doomsday. in the use of the word doomsday. Faced with some Republicans shrugging their shoulders at the thought of U.S. defaulting on its debt obligations, notable economists are warning that the consequences would be the economic equivalent of a swarm of frogs and a plague of locusts. All right, this is CNBC. This is a little bit hyperbolic.
Well, they're probably not thinking about it today after the stock market's up 300 points.
Nevertheless, this isn't done yet. The worst of the doomsday scenarios painted by economists involve an outright depression as the effects of missing debt interest payments cascade through the economy, financial markets, and ultimately to Main Street. Right? Worst case scenario, they're saying depression. I think maybe this is, I don't know. I don't think it's as serious as they allege, but it may be. While many analysts agree that the default still remains unlikely, warnings are beginning to intensify that Washington is skating too close to a perilous line. Again, as we've pointed out in a couple of previous programs, the real message in this is not that we might have a debt default within the next 2 weeks that could cause the stuff to hit the fan. The message is not the debt default. The message is the 2 weeks. The fact that we could be within 2 weeks of these kinds of economic consequences is simply more evidence of how fragile the economic system is. It's like discovering you're on the Titanic. We have not yet hit any icebergs. We have not yet don't have a hole in the ship, but you discover that the side of the ship is not made out of iron or steel. It's made out of balsa wood. And you begin to realize, uh-oh, we're a little more vulnerable than we'd previously thought. The devastation to the United States would be so severe that it would take decades to recover from the depression caused by the default and the attendant dumping of trillions of dollars of U.S. securities on the global financial markets. And this is from banking analyst Dick Bove at Rafferty Capital Markets. Decades? Nonsense. We may have a problem. It could take years. But it's not going to take decades unless they want it to take decades. And here's the seven most immediate and severe side effects. Depression and unemployment. That's number one. We could see an economic depression and increased unemployment. Number two, dollar down, prices and rates up. Among the biggest impacts could be mass selling of the U.S. dollar, an event that would threaten the greenback standing as the world's reserve currency. It's already threatened.
It's funny they didn't put gold in there. Gold, dollar down, prices and rates up, gold up. Yeah, they don't mention that, do they?
Nope, we're not seeing that here. The third is down go your investments. Again, and they're talking about what kind of investments, Melody? In the event of a worst-case scenario, we default on the debt, and your investments go down. What investments are they talking about?
Dollar investments.
Paper. That's what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's what this whole thing is about. They've run up all of these damned paper debts. We have allegedly $17 trillion in debt right now. John Williams says it's $85 trillion. Congressional Budget Office says, including unfunded liabilities, it's over $200 trillion. It's already too big to be repaid, but it's paper. These are paper debts, and that's how they can be wiped out, because they are paper. They can effectively burn in a loss of confidence. You can't say the same thing about gold. You can't say the same thing about silver. The tangible will survive. The paper can disappear. Fourth great problem that may result from a debt default, Social Security payments halt. Fifth, banking operations freeze up. One chilling data point, American banks own $1.85 trillion in various government-backed debt. The effect then of a default on that debt would be devastating. Again, according to this guy Bove, he said, if the Treasury and related securities were in default, one does not know what they would be worth. Now, wait a second. If we go into a default, he's saying that your pieces of paper, no one is going to know what they're worth. How do you know what they're worth right now? If someone else's debt default can make your pieces of paper of uncertain value, what makes anyone think your pieces of paper have any certain value right now? This is more evidence of the house of cards that we have come to live in. And here's this man from one of the banks who's saying, look, he's saying by implication, yes, we're in the house of cards. And he goes on, he says, assume a Latin American valuation of 10 to 20 cents on the dollar and an estimated 128 trillion in the U.S. banking and equity would be wiped out. What he's talking about, I've been telling people for 5 years, my guesstimate, it's only a guesstimate, is that they can't pay more than 90%, excuse me, they can't pay more than 10% of the existing debt. My guesstimate is that at least 80% and probably 90% of the existing debt, paper debt, will be wiped out. And here he is. Here's a major, I've been telling people that for 5 years, and here's a major banker. He says, back, oh, he's saying a 10 to 20. He's saying that the American valuation of these paper debt instruments could fall to 10 to 20% of what they are right now. He's now admitting what I've been telling people for 5 years. What else? Potential result, true default by the United States Treasury would wipe out bank equity. All right, I agree with him. A true default would wipe out paper bank equity. I agree with that. But by true default, he means an overt default where the government just says, oh, guess what? We're broke. We can't pay. Can't pay another dime. We're busted. That's the default they're talking about. But he's not talking about the default that takes place every day in the form of inflation. Our government has been steadily defaulting on its debt throughout my life by means of inflation. But they default just a little bit, 1%, 2%, 3% every year, default a little more. And the net result is that equity, that means your wealth, ladies and gentlemen, has been wiped out a little at a time, a little every year. It's like cooking frogs. We don't seem to notice, but you are being impoverished by a government that routinely defaults on its debt. It's part of public policy to default on the debt. It's just the policy is to default in a way that's subtle and stealthy and largely unobserved by the American people. And here's the other one. A recent Federal Reserve study said the damage during the crisis could eventually have involved 28 money market funds could collapse. Again, a recent Federal Reserve study said that the damage during the crisis eventually could have involved 28 funds that would have broken the buck. A default would hit virtually every money market in the country. This is the guy Bove speaking again from one of the banks, Rafferty Banking, whatever. He says, what are they telling us? How could it be that virtually every money market fund in the country could be broken by a U.S. government debt default? How can that be? And the answer is that such total collapse is possible because we are living in a house of cards. The smart guys in Washington, D.C. and Wall Street have created a monetary, financial, and economic system that is so leveraged, so irrational, that if the system suffers just one relatively minor event, the whole system can collapse. That's what he's telling us when he says 28 funds can all be busted if they default on the national debt. How can that be? It's because we are too integrated. And we are integrated with fundamental lies. If the lie somebody exposes, if the emperor is shown to be nude, guess what? The whole thing goes down. Now, the moral of this is people who live in card houses shouldn't throw debt defaults. I guess that's the moral. In fact, the real story is that people who accept the irrational proposition that debt instruments can be treated as wealth are headed for an eventual correction that will be catastrophic. The warnings advanced in the article above that I've just been reading from about the seven signs of economic doomsday are the same warnings we've been offering on financial survival for years. We've been telling you we're coming to this date, and now we have come close enough to the date where even people in positions of power are beginning to admit what we've been warning people about for years. They begin to say, you know, they got a point. We're not the only ones to do it. But I guarantee the mainstream media hasn't done it. Washington hasn't done it. The Federal Reserve hasn't done it in an articulate manner. We've put the pieces together and warned 5 years of the very same problems that they are now beginning to admit. And here we are within 2 weeks of what may be not only a national but possibly global economic collapse. How could that catastrophe be possible if we'd saved our wealth in the form of something tangible like gold? Would the debt default matter if most of us, including the government of France and Spain and Italy and Uganda, if most of the people had saved their wealth in the form of gold, what difference does it make if the government goes broke? We'll still get by. We got gold. What happens if we have saved our wealth in the form of paper and the people who print the paper have to admit they don't have enough paper and ink anymore to make good on their debts? It's precisely because we have come to rely on paper and treat it as money. But it's not. It's just a fiat currency. It's not money. Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debt. The founders messed up on that because they didn't include Washington, D.C. They did not include the territories. But, of course, there were no territories. And, well, I won't get into it right now. There weren't territories at the time they drafted the Articles of Confederation. But they didn't include the territories in Washington, D.C. It opened a door to bring in fiat currencies. And we are going to pay a price for that before this is all over. And we're seeing, here's a report, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. It's not falling because they default on the debt. That isn't the real reason. If the sky is going to fall, it's going to fall because the things that they call debt, that are being treated as assets. Sooner or later, that irrationality is going to come be exposed. Sooner or later, people are going to understand what I'm talking about. They'll say, wait a second, you mean we're treating our debts as assets? How can that be? How does that make sense? It is a brilliant scheme if you can sustain it. It's the equivalent of having a money tree. All we have to do is you want something, you just sign for it and promise to pay. You don't ever actually have to pay. You just promise to pay. And then your promise to pay creates currency that somebody else can use to make his promises to pay. And it's a brilliant kind of scheme, but it is a Ponzi scheme. It'll only work for a while, and then it has to blow up. And everything we're seeing in the concern about the debt default in the immediate future, everything illustrates how vulnerable we are. And that vulnerability should be enough to make people realize, you know, it's time to start saving my wealth in a form that can withstand this kind of catastrophe. If we're only 2 weeks away from this possibility, we may get through it, and I expect we will. But we're still within 2 weeks at any given moment. We are within 2 weeks of a catastrophe. It follows that you would do well to protect yourself. We're out of time, Melody. I don't know if you want to say something in the last 4 seconds.
No, I mean, we've been saying this for a long time. You've been doing it here for a long time. We've been saying this for 20 years. Folks, we're not making this up. I mean, it's there to be understood, and you're there. It's up to you. You can do what you will. You can either protect yourself, or you can play their game, and I'll guarantee you, you will lose if you play their game.
It's like playing against the house in Las Vegas. Yep. I mean, a few people win, but most lose. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad?
still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.